Welcome back, everyone, to episode 415 of the Inside Show podcast, because we're still inside. Still,
forever.
I mean, maybe your state's different, or country, I should say. Depending on, obviously, where you are. You know, there's a couple states here that are trying reopening to various degrees of success, though I think the jury's still out on that. I know our states are not, which is New Jersey and Massachusetts. New Jersey extended their health emergency thing to June 5th. Well, to reassess. It was going to be May 15th was the next deadline, but on May 5th, they extended it to June 5th. And then, so we'll see from there what happens.
Yeah, the last I heard, Massachusetts was going to be limiting, like, some resemblance of normalcy back on, like, May 18th, I think, is what they were setting the goal for, but I don't know. Honestly, I haven't been paying that close of attention, so.
I was paying a lot more close attention, a lot closer attention earlier on, and then I stopped. I mean, not that I'm living under a rock anymore, but I'm paying less attention. Though, interestingly, you know, my job, I work with people from around the world, and I hear bits and pieces of how other countries are handling it, and they have even stricter when they're in lockdown. They're in fucking lockdown. Like, their restaurants aren't open for pickup or delivery or anything. Like, they're closed. I think it was in France. I didn't get the details because the woman was mentioning it in passing, but it sounds like you needed a pass to leave your house. Like, it was something you printed out, or you can now get on your phone or whatever, but it was time stamped. You had 1 hour. And if you were caught without it, you'd be fined.
Damn.
And they didn't want you sitting on benches or stuff. Like, they want you to keep moving, apparently. This is what I got from the conversation. But, like, that's a lot different.
Yeah. Probably more effective.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, again, it doesn't really affect the show too much, as albums are still being released, thank God. And we do this from our own homes in separate states anyway. Recently, I know the last August Burns Red album and the Black Dahlia album, it sounded like we're going to be benchmarks about releasing new music, but it doesn't seem, I haven't read anything else major being pushed. Like, possibly stuff we didn't have a date for yet, like Deftones album and things like that, but we obviously have mentioned things like Buried Tomorrow and Hatebreed. I think Carcass came to mind as well. We're all being moved. But nothing else in our calendar, as far as I have seen, seems to have changed. So we can keep bringing you the new shit. And with that, we got four new ones this week. Two of which we've reviewed before. Two were new bands. Not just to us, just to the world. And then we will continue taking a look at Artists in Era under our Black Label segment, which we'll get to later. First up, we have Catatonia with their 12th album, City Burials. It's out now on Peaceville. This band formed back in 91. So they've been doing this quite a while.
Yeah, I feel like we're in, you know, we talk about like the second era of Deftones with their change in sound. I feel like we've entered officially the third era of Catatonia at this point.
Yes. Now, would you say the third era started here or after Dead End Kings or with Fall of Hearts? Like, where would you put that line?
I feel like the other one, the last, I'm trying to decide if it's one or two, were transitionals. If I had to mark, like, this is just what this is now, it would be this album.
Okay. Because
I say that in that I think it's the most successful version of the sound that they have done of the last few. Which to me means they've ushered in that change.
Right. That's fair. I mean, Dethroned and Uncrowned, I don't think I even really tried, or I tried a couple songs and didn't listen to the full album.
Right.
I think that was around the time I was singing them live, and they were playing some of that stuff and just was falling hard. Fall of Hearts, I loved. I will agree, though, City Burials does show the transition. This is easily the biggest step, I'm going to use heavy air quotes here, forward, since Great Cold Distance. Like, that was 2.0. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Which would go through at least Dead End Kings. And then that's when they start experimenting kind of after that. This is more mellow. There's still heavy parts, but it's not throughout the album. They play a lot more with atmosphere and keyboards, a lot more quieter passages. It's extremely dynamic in the writing and the sonic delivery. And again, even if it's a little less heavy, but it still sounds like Catatonia. For one, you still have Jonas on vocals, and if he can't leave the band, he is the band. He's got such a he's got such a distinctive voice that nothing else is going to work, in my opinion. But they kept their melancholy tone. Like, even if it is more mellow in a lot of parts, the riffs are still Catatonia. The melodies are still Catatonia, and just the overall darkness. But even within the darkness, there's a few tracks on here that have like an almost lighter bounce to it, like The Winter of Our Passing. The bass drum stomp in the beginning, just like you could hear the crowd clapping along to it, and it just like has a more upbeat feel to it as it bounces, but it's still dark. Like, it still sounds like something that's in the fall, if you will. Like, that's this period for that band is autumn, which is shorter and shorter now, but like that's why, yeah. I put 2.0 to 3.0 Catatonia is very autumn. I love this, though. I think it's as much as I like their last albums, obviously, as I said, I love Fall of Hearts and a lot of the previous stuff, this works differently but equally as well, and I think it's a direction I can embrace them going in.
Yeah, I largely agree with that. First off, I need to backpedal. Which album did you say was the first transition? You said Last Fair Deal.
No,
right?
I said Great Cold Distance. So I guess there's three, right?
Because like they started off as a heavy band and they transitioned out of that with Discouraged Ones.
Right.
Like, so that to me is their first transition from being like heavy band to Discouraged Ones, and I'd put that through. Yeah, great. Probably again a little bit more of a change around Great Cold Distance.
Right. So Great Cold Distance is technically 3.0, and this is 4.0.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. And what that transition is losing teeth with every step of the way.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I would not care about Catatonia if they stayed in phase one of their band. I think phase two is still my favorite version of Catatonia. I'm torn because it's between Viva Emptiness and The Great Cold Distance for me, which I would say is probably the difference between phase two and phase three. So,
right, yeah.
Not sure where I land on that one. But yeah, I mean, they're a band that I always enjoy, even if I don't at first, I think is the most judicious way of saying that. Like, they're a band that for the last couple, they put out an album, I'm like, I don't know, this doesn't click with me. And then I come back to it a couple months later, or just at this point know that if I listen to it more, I will grow to really like it. So I try to reserve my snap judgments on it.
Yeah.
And that is definitely the case with this one. I'm not like in love with this album. But it's enjoyable. It's fine. I just like it blurs the lines of being like another good solid Catatonia album and also being kind of uninteresting. And that's the problem, because I feel like saying that now, I'll be eating my words in a month. And that's just the story of Catatonia for me for the last couple albums. Like, the hooks don't grab me quite the way I want them to. They don't have the heavy, cool riffs anymore that I loved on their, you know, their mid-career stuff. So I kind of rely on like those huge hooks, and they're few and far between. And I think a fair amount of that for me has to do with the production on this. It is good, but it's super polished. Like it's really clean. Everything is like super duper in its place. The guitars don't have enough bite to them to make even the heavier moments feel heavy. Like there's a good dynamic range to it, but there's not, the heavy parts don't hit as heavy as they should, I think, to me, is the biggest issue.
Right.
This comes across sounding more like the Wisdom of Crowds album than a Catatonia album. And I love that. And I also really love Catatonia.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's this weird middle ground that, though this is the most effective version of it they've done, still isn't quite what I want from the band. But there's a lot of it I enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think a month or two from now, I will be singing its praises more than I currently am.
Right. And to the production, it is a bit polished, but the mix is fantastic. Like the dynamics and the space they create and the space between the instruments, like it's sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it definitely does. I just feel like I want it to be mixed as well, but mixed in a way that gives the heavier parts more weight.
Right, I agree.
Like, I mean, there aren't that many heavy parts to this album to begin with. Like, obviously, the guitars are all distorted from the majority of it. But the only song that I would say is kind of heavy would be the opener, Heart Set to Divide. Like, that feels the most, like, true Catatonia of pretty much anything on this album. But it just never, it never has the balls it needs to work the way that they wanted it to.
Right.
Which is a service to the rest of the album, because if that came out guns blazing and then the rest of the songs didn't have that to it, I'd be complaining for a different reason. So I don't know. It walks this weird line where I wish they just kind of leaned into it a little more than they did. And we're just like, yeah, we're just going to go more mellow throughout. That's who we are now. That's what we do. Like, the song I like best on this album is Lacquer, which has the least teeth of anything here. It's the most, like, mellow Bruce Sword side project chill vibe of anything on there. But the chorus works. And the transition between, like, how stripped down and barren the verses are to, like, that big hook that you get worked the best for me. And I kind of wish they just leaned a little further into that. So I don't know. I've been between a 3 and a 4 all week. Cause like, this is good. And I know I'm going to like it more. So I'm inclined to give it a 4 to, future proof myself a little bit, because I know I'm going to grow to like it more. But like, I was texting with the guys in my band a little about it, because they're both, you know, big Catatonia fans as well. And all three of us were like, yeah, it's good. I just don't know how much I care anymore this far into the career, and having gotten what we have from this band.
Right.
Like, in a vacuum, I would be rating this higher. But for a band that's put out 12 albums that I've been following since like the early 2000s, I don't know how well I can get excited about this.
Right, that's fair.
You know? Yeah. What are you doing for a number? Maybe I'll balance
it. I'm giving it a 4.
Okay. Then I'm going to give it a 3. If you're giving it a 4, you clearly like it more than I do. I'm going to give it a 3, and I'm going to eat my words in a month.
Cool. Sounds great.
Okay. Yeah,
so
great.
With that, we're going to play you the song Flicker off of Catatonia's latest album, City Burials. Check it out.
Desire. turn. Change my praise. Either way I grew so old. This is how I disappear. Separated from the dead twin. The hound is on my trail.
That was Flicker from Catatonia's latest City Burials out on Peaceville. Let us know what you think about that one. I'm sure that's bound to be a little bit contentious. I'm gonna have to come back to that one and kind of update my opinion on it, because I've ebbed and flowed too much. But head over to SideshowPodcast.com. Let us know what you thought of it. Engage in a conversation there, or hit us up on social media. We've been more active there lately.
Yeah.
I think.
It's
my car has not been playing any music for the last week. I don't know why.
And I've been spending my time watching movies as opposed to playing records and stuff, which I do have done only occasionally, so it's hard to find pictures of things, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, but if you're missing us on social media, go over and check out The Horror Scouts, which is the other podcast that we do with our buddy Mike, where Brian has been posting every single day about horror movies he's watching. So go hop on that one. And then obviously subscribe to that as well, because if you like metal, you probably like horror movies, and that's what we're covering over there. Okay, next one. Another band that we've reviewed a couple times before. We have the latest from Barishi. The album is Old Smoke, out on Season of Mist. These are Vermonters. They're local dudes to me, kind of. I was actually going to see them a couple weeks ago before everything fell to shit. They were playing with Wilderun at 13th Floor. That would have been an awesome show. Yeah. But nope, no dice. So hopefully that gets rebooked when this all kind of returns to some sort of normalcy. So their latest Old Smoke, out in Season of Mist. This band has changed a fair amount from EP to album to album, or I guess album to EP to album. This time there was a lineup change of they lost their singer. The rest of the band is the same, but I believe it's the guitar player. I'm going to eat my words there.
Yep,
the guitar player has taken over vocal duties. And it's rare that you lose a member, don't replace it, and improve your sound and output. But the vocal performance on this is more varied than what I feel like we got from them in the past. And also the writing is just more aggressive. It's thicker, it's darker, it's angrier, it's more epic. The songs are pushing the 10-minute mark or more for the majority of the album. And I really like this direction for them. I thought this was a good step forward. And you don't agree with me. Interesting. Okay.
I can't argue with the facts that it is heavier, more aggressive, and the songs are longer. That's true. Those are all true things.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know what's not to enjoy about it. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say. But they were engaging. I mean, the songs are long. It starts off with an 11-minute song and a 10.5-minute song. But it never felt like they overstayed their welcome to me. Like, the flow of this album, I thought, worked really, really well for building intensity. And, you know, I feel like we've mentioned this a few times, of doing something that we wanted Tombs to do that they couldn't figure out. This is the other side of that. We talked a couple weeks ago about the heavier side of Tombs that we wanted to see exist. That, was it Worm? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did like the heavier, better version of that. But Tombs did like the...
No.
Less engaging, less interesting. Wake, sorry. Yes. The other W band we always get confused. Yeah. This picks up on like the more epic scope thing that Tombs tries to do, but made it still interesting, heavy, and engaging. And I feel like there's a place for that. And I don't have a lot that sounds similar to it. And I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay. I had trouble getting into this. Like, I didn't get the dynamics from the songwriting. That was my biggest problem. The pacing on this album felt like there were good riffs in there. When I was paying, like, say, active listening a little harder, there were some good guitar work in there, some good melodies, but like it would just, a 10-minute song seemed like a relatively monotonous stoner doom song. And the riff I like went on and on and on. And while it might have hooked me in, it didn't keep me there. Cause like, okay, you did that. And, when you had two of the 10-minute songs that did similar things back to back, as like, okay, I didn't find much of a reason for these songs to be 10 minutes. That's not to say they took 2 5-minute songs and mashed them together. I think they took a 6-minute song and dragged it out to 10 minutes twice, 3 times if you count the title track. And so I found the repetition within each song throughout this album tiresome and uninteresting.
Huh. Wow. No, I completely disagree. I found it to be very engaging. This worked very well for me. Like, I don't usually go for the more like stoner, doomy, sludgy sort of thing. But this had enough balls behind it that it was interesting. You know, this had a weight to it that a lot of the long stoner 10-minute bands, you know, that we have covered a few times in the past, I feel those aren't nearly as engaging because they don't have the aggression behind them. They don't have, you know, the heft to
right.
it. And this does. I would much rather listen to a 10-minute song that has like a thick galloping riff to it than ambient spaciness, and that this does, and it, but it still has that kind of long through line ebb and flow, which is something I've never had a problem with. My problem is when that riff is just like ambient picking of nothingness, and that isn't what these guys do. They just land on a riff and groove it in a really, really good way, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the riff group, like I said, there was good parts to it. I like some of what they were doing. I just felt like everything did overstay its welcome. And I found the pacing to become boring. Like, I didn't get the ebb and flow of the pacing as much. It's there, I think. But, like, when it picks up to a faster pace, it's super short and then goes back to more of a plod. And the riff, the, you know, a riff might speed up, like, where am I? I'm about a minute and a half into Long Hunter. But, like, the pace of the overall song isn't changing. And that dynamic is good then, but, like, a couple minutes later, you're still in the same pacing territory. This one's a little... Huh. This one gets faster in the middle, but at the same time, where am I now? I'm already 25 minutes into the album. So, like, I've already probably tuned out. And that's my problem, is Long Hunter's maybe solid and stuff, but, like, I, by the time I got there, I've... It's not bad. It's just, I don't think it's for me. It didn't work for me. I can't... The playing is fine. The vocal is more dynamic and better, but it also sounds a little black metal-y, as if he's standing a little too far from his mic, or the mic is... they're in a big cavernous room. There's some type of effect almost going on there. It's raw, but it's... I'm not getting aggressive in the vocal as it is just harsh. I don't know. It's okay. I think it's
okay.
It's funny. I just looked at the ratings. I apparently gave the last album a 4, though that was in 2016. Spoiler, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you a goddamn thing about that album. I don't think I've listened to it since then.
Yeah, I feel like historically I have liked this band better than
but
you.
But no, because you gave the last album a 3.
Did I really?
You gave the EP a 5 and I gave it a 4. We flopped a little on that album. And I think we're going to flop again here, because I'm going to give this a 3.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving this a 4. I encourage you with fresh ears to go listen to the longest song on the album, which is the last track, which I would assume you probably would have checked out for the most part by then.
Mm-hmm.
Give the last song an active listen. Yeah, it's 13 and a half minutes long, but that has drastic changes in pacing, in, you know, dynamic swells, in melodies and lead riffs. And like, that to me is the strongest track on the album. It's kind of unfortunate that it comes that far in, because if, you know, you are not actively listening at that point, then, you know, it would probably just wash over you. But I would encourage checking that one out again. It's a really, really good song. We're not going to play that one for you, though, because it's 13 and a half minutes long, and that's about a third of the length of this podcast generally. So instead, we're going to play you one of the 6.5 minute songs and go with Entombed in Gold Forever. That's off Barishi's latest, Old Smoke. Check it out.
We'll be right back.
right, that was Entombed in Gold Forever by Barishi off their latest album, Old Smoke. Again, something else probably good to discuss over on the SideshowPodcast.com or any of our social media, because we differed on it, which means you're going to lie on either side of that, so it'll make for good discussion somewhere. Next up, we're going with some death metal by one of those new bands. This one is Werewolves, which features members of... Shit, I didn't write this down. So it's two members of Berserker, and I think it's the bassist or drummer, maybe drummer, of Psycroptic. Nick will probably drummer. Be looking that up while I'm...
I am looking it up, but I remember that one off the top of my head.
It is the drummer. Okay, and then I think it's the guitarist and bassist or two guitarists from Berserker, who you might remember as an industrial grind band from quite some time ago. This is death metal, and it's amazing. And I can't put a qualifier on it, but not because it's just plain old death metal, and that's what makes it awesome. There's black metal infiltrating the entirety of, or most of the album, but it's super subtle. It comes in a little bit of the blasting or the speed picking, but it just adds a little bit of something extra. But to the meat of it, there is just straight up brutality. It's fast and pummeling. There's some punky beats. There's some slammy parts. It's a little bit technical. It's any descriptors we tend to give to our, well, I don't know if I could throw progressive much in there, but most other descriptors we tend to give to death metal genres roll into this somewhere. And that's what makes it really engaging and interesting to me. There's some melody in there too, and in the riffs, whether it's through a groove or just, you know, a slightly more melodic riff, and you get, I mean, I could name a half a dozen bands they have influences of, and that's, again, they're wearing them on their sleeves, but they all get equal play in there to make something, to me, kind of fresh yet super familiar. And I liked this the first time I listened to it, and like by time two or three, I was like, no, this is really fucking good. The name, kind of silly. I mean, I don't know how they got away with releasing an album called Werewolves in 2020, because how are there not 17 other bands with that name?
There are a few.
But like,
only one, actually.
That's I don't understand that. With the amount of horror that gets into death metal, how is there only like two other bands? But whatever. The artwork plays off the name and is fantastic. I'll be talking about that one in December. But I absolutely love this album. There is nothing wrong with this for me. There's, you know, great riffing, dynamic vocal performance, speed slams, just everything I'd wanted a death metal album.
Yeah, you say it's just straight up death metal with no modifiers, but like, that has to be.
No, but that's the thing, because there's a lot of... Okay, let me rephrase that maybe. I didn't put modifiers to it because I couldn't pick just one. I didn't quite think it was black and fair. Death metal. It wasn't brutal death metal, though that's probably the closest, though that you wouldn't like that.
Right.
It's not technical death metal. It's definitely not progressive. It's not melodic death.
Yeah, it's...
But it is all
it
those.
Is. It's everything. Yeah. It defies a modifier simply because you'd have to use every single one of them.
Exactly.
And that is what makes it good. Like at its core, it is straight up death metal, but you know, I just finished track 4 and went into track 5, and you get like straight up groove metal for the latter half of track 4. That like the whole band stops. Guitar just plays like this groovy bounce riff and they jam out on it for like a minute. But then track 5 is like, oh, here's a metalcore breakdown because fuck it, why not? and that is this album in a nutshell. It's like death metal with tinge of black metal, a little bit of brutal death vocals, and then every other genre you can throw at it, ranging from metalcore and hardcore like beatdown breakdowns to groove stuff. And it's... It defies category. And that that is its strength. Because at like first blush, I should not love this album. but it beats you into submission where you have to be like, all right, fuck it. This is great. yeah, like the name is cheesy. At like, you know, at a cursory listen, I was like, this is not for me, but okay, we'll review it. But by like, yeah, by half an album in, I was like, shit, I'm really enjoying this. And then every time I listened to it throughout the couple of weeks we had here, it just got better. It just got more fun. It's all over the place. And that really is what makes it. It's the complete like ambivalence for what they should be, that makes it work as well as it does. Never change, never progress, just be this. This is great.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I couldn't have said that better.
Yeah, this is a band, if they were to grow, heavy air quotes there, in any direction and lean more into one sort of category more than another, I would not like whatever they put out next. Like, because there's enough disparate elements in this that if they went more in the Black Death vibe, it would push its way right out of something I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's brutal enough that if they tried to keep the brutal aspect and some groove, I probably still wouldn't care that much because the brutal vocals are still not my jam. Right. But like, it's because it never does anything for more than a minute at a time without just like completely turning on its head that it works. And if they, like, I would be totally content if this was a supergroup that got together, put out one album, and disappeared. because I don't know how you put out another one without growing and evolving. And that can only be a detriment to a band that put out something this good for their first
release. I mean, they'd have to pull a Havoc and put out four albums in 2 years. By the way, there's a new Havoc album coming out.
Yeah.
I keep saying Havoc. I don't mean Havoc. I mean no. Haunt. Haunt. Yeah. I said Havoc twice. There is a new Havoc album, that's why.
There is a new Havoc album coming out.
No, I meant Haunt, because they're putting out another album this year. They already did one. But,
yeah.
To, I guess, detriment, they're not evolving, or they're changing slightly the wrong ways, as we discussed last time. Werewolves would have to just put out this album again. They'd have to be, like, early on Monomorph. Like, yeah. Just do your thing, which is fine.
What would have been great is if, like, we find out they went into the studio and instead of recording the 9 songs they put on this album, they recorded 18 and they were just planning to follow up later on. That was, like, written and recorded at the exact same time.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great. I would enjoy that. But yeah, like, this is an album on paper I should hate. In reality, I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah, so am I. Just because we talked about defying death metal tags, Metal Archives has them as technical black / death metal. See, there's black metal elements there. You can hear it in every other song, but for black metal, it's technical, I guess. But there's not enough black in there to qualify that as a category to be in. I don't know. Let us know what you think. I mean, or don't, because we try probably too hard to categorize things, mostly because it helps define what we're trying to describe to you, and also my iTunes. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You have a 2/5 of an album in Werewolves' The Dead Are Screaming, so check out the song No More Heroes.
All right, that was No More Heroes from Werewolves off The Dead Are Screaming. It's out on Prosthetic. Next for you, we have our second week covering the Artisan era for our Black Label pick. As a reminder, in case you didn't listen last week, this is a label that was formed in 2014 in Nashville. They're a label we've covered a number of times in the past. They primarily do tech death, though, as you would remember if you did listen last week, not all of it is that. We played Oubliette, which does not quite fit that definition. But these guys are home of Infuri and a whole bunch of other bands that we have covered and liked and talked about in the past. There really isn't too much else to say about them that we didn't already cover. So I think we're just going to jump in and play a song for you off a recent release. They've put out 4 albums so far this year, including one that I swear to God was a band we had talked about before, which would be erroneous that we apparently did not. I think I must have picked them when we were doing our state thing. I'm trying to decide if it was alphabetical one or state one. I think it was state.
I think it was state, yeah.
They're a Wisconsin band. But I thought we covered them. We didn't. Anyways, they're good. They put it on an album out earlier this year, but that's not what we're going to cover. But you should check them out anyways. The one that we're playing a song for is the band Symbolic. They're out of California, since I said where Erroneous is from. I might as well say that, too. They put out an album on April 10th. This is their second full-length album, and they definitely fall within that tech death realm, but a little bit more on the melodic side of that. So with that, we're going to play a song for you, and we'll catch you on the flip side. This is Symbolic's Invoking Oblivion. Check it out.
Yeah.
Alright, so that was Symbolic with their song Invoke Oblivion. It's off their album Emergence, and that they are on Artisan Era, who we just finished covering for Black Label. The next 2 weeks, we'll cover some other label that we're going to go decide at a later date. But for now, we have one more album to discuss, and that is a debut from Umbra Vitae. Their album Shadow of Life is out on Deathwish, and it's a new band with members you are familiar with.
The second supergroup of the week.
This one, even more so. So you have Jacob Bannon of Converge and Warrior Wounds on vocals, on guitars and second vocals, Mike Gunface McKenzie of The Red Chord and also Warrior Wounds, guitars and vocals, Sean Martin of Twitching Tongues and Warrior Wounds and also Ex-Hatebreed. On bass, you have Greg Weeks of The Red Chord. You see a pattern here? And drums, you have John Rice, who's played live with 700 bands, but it was actually in Job for a Cowboy and is in Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats.
But played live with The Red Chord.
So between The Red Chord and Wear Your Wounds, you pretty much have this band mashed together. Yep. And honestly, okay, I'm not familiar with Wear Your Wounds, but I'd say if you mashed up The Red Chord and Converge, you're close into what this sounds like. For better or worse, it's solid. It's good, I guess, kind of core-infused death metal. I'm not going to say deathcore, because it's not. But it's just, I feel like it's a good starting point for this band, because it's a lot of good stuff here. It's super heavy and aggressive, especially with Martin and McKenzie doing backing vocals to Bannon, giving a little bit of diversity there. You have some, you know, melodic riffs taking in a bridge or closing out of a song, but you have a lot of blasting and kind of, I guess, hardcore beat driving drums. And just, it's super aggressive for, what, 95% of the album? And it's just, it's also, it's great for energy, but it's also a fault in not showing a little more diversity and letting the album breathe a little bit. Like, it just, it kind of washes over. And when you're done, you're like, well, that was fun and heavy, but I don't remember much of it. So, like, there's a lot of good stuff here, I found, and I think, I know they're all experienced musicians, but it's coming together in this band. I feel like it's a good starting point, and there could be something a little better on the horizon.
I definitely like this more than you. It's not a five of an album for me, but like it definitely didn't wash over me quite as much as it did you from the sounds of it. And the other element it has, and maybe it's in the production of it, it definitely has a little bit of that, like, power violence crust vibe to it. Just in, like, the unrelenting speed of the drums throughout a ton of this album are just, you know, they are more in that blasty punk madness than you get from something that's more deathcore or death metal vibe, generally. And then some of the grooves and kind of slams to it feel a little bit more crust or power violence inspired than being just a deathcore sort of thing. And I liked that line that it walked. And it has the production that fits it. It was just a very aggressive, fun listen. You know, it may not be that lasting of an impression. Like, this is probably not an album we're going to be talking about at the end of the year.
Right.
But I found it to be a very solid starting point and something that I would definitely be interested in hearing more of. in a way that I don't feel I can usually say about most supergroups, last album we reviewed aside.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, taking songs out of it, like, say, Atheist Aesthetic, which is the third track, the end of that has, like, a good groovy breakdown to it, which leads into a groovy start to Mantra of Madness. But then it picks up pace and it's blasting aggressive again, and I feel like more of the breakdown parts throughout or something to give it a pacing and a bit of memorability, because I'll latch on to a good breakdown easily. Mm-hmm. There's a great groove in the middle of this song, but it's so short-lived and just everything else is so fast-forward and aggressive. Like, I just feel like there needs to be more of those more hardcore power violence-y moment. Well, power violence is the good one, but more of the like hardcore slowed down moments to let it breathe and to give you something to latch onto more. It's a good experience, yeah, as you're listening to it for it's 25 minutes. Like,
right. Yeah. I feel like I came to this from a different angle. Maybe it's because I have less attachment or familiarity with a lot of where these members came from. But I didn't really have expectations going into it. So I was kind of not really, I don't know, I wasn't expecting too much, like, slammy, breakdown-laden stuff. So having a ton of it on there was not something I was missing. I kind of just liked the slippery, slimy, like, nastiness of it all. And it vibed with me. I clicked with this pretty right. quickly.
So I'm not saying I was missing it. I didn't have expectations either, but the power violence I like, some of it is just, you know, the sheer aggressiveness, but especially when it comes to like Nails and their last one, there was grooves and breakdowns that like made me latch onto it. And that's what's missing from here. When I listen to songs separate from the whole of the album, I can pick those out more, but it doesn't last on me while the album is playing by the time it's done. So like going back and hearing those things, I want more of it to help the album stick with me. But again, the sheer the violence of it, like, totally works. And it's, again, like you said it too, it's a good starting point, and I am interested in more from this. Yeah. Like, I'm not dismissing it, but it's a 3 for me. Like, it's something I enjoyed while I was listening to it, but I'm not sure how much I'm gonna go back.
Yeah, I will. I like this. This is a 4 for me. This was solid. Yeah, like I definitely agree with what you're saying with, like, you know, having a little bit more groove, a little more something to latch your teeth into, a la Nails, would definitely make it more memorable. But Nails was a, like, end of the year, album of the year contender for both of us. That's the big difference between a 4 and a 5 for me. But for a starting point album of something that we're even in passing comparing to a band like that, to me warrants it to be a 4. This was solid. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And, you know, we'll definitely be following up with them for sure.
All right, fair enough. So it's funny. We agreed on 2, well, no, we only gave one. We're in more agreeance with Catatonia, though I liked it more. Barishi and Umbra Vitae, we had very differing opinions on. So if you want to get, we're going to play you the song Mantra of Madness by Umbra Vitae. I don't know why. It just doesn't flow.
It's hard to say, for sure.
We're going
to
play that song at the end of the show. If you want to get involved with this discussion and share your thoughts on these albums and see which side of the sideshow you side with, go to thesideshowpodcast.com and leave a comment there. If you want to fight with us directly, there's email addresses. There's links to social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I think we prefer Instagram, but I'll respond to you on anything.
I won't if you use Twitter. There's no chance. I'll respond on Facebook, but not Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love Twitter anyway. We usually just reshare stuff there as opposed to fresh content, but at any rate, we're on all of them. Like I said, there's the email. If there's some band you want us to cover, your band, your friend's band, some band you heard of, we haven't and maybe should have, please send us an email. There's a contact us page there. or real simple, you can send it to mail at thesideshowpodcast.com. Or if you'd like the exposure, we still have expose yourself at thesideshowpodcast.com an email address. Yeah. As you're ordering necessities for staying inside, if you're using Amazon, click through our site to get there. Use those album links on the side, or if they're at the bottom of one of the past episodes, that helps keep the show up and running. That about does it. Quick other shout out. Again, you like us, you like horror, go listen to Horror Scouts. We got a new one just went up, earlier this week, right? Or I guess last week by the time the show goes up.
Yes.
And there'll be one coming, another episode coming soon. So get in there and enjoy horror movie reviews and discussion.
That's horrorscouts.com, and you can find all the ways to subscribe from there. Take you over to YouTube, where we host it, just a stream. There's no video content. And then all of the typical pod-catching apps that you would normally use, you can find it there.
There you have it. So, with that, next week we got albums and a new Black Label. We haven't picked that yet, so we're going to go work on that, and you're going to listen to Mantra of Madness by Umbra Vitae. I gotta stop saying this fucking word. Vitae, whatever. Go listen to the song. We'll see you next week.